The board meeting is commencing at 19:05, 7:05 p.m. First thing on the agenda to approve the last board meeting minutes. Paul, did you have a chance to look those over?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any issues with those?
No, I do not.
I don't either. I make a motion that we approve those minutes. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
Yes.
Paul votes yes. I vote yes. The motion carries, and the minutes are approved. Next on the list, the 2024 budget. It was introduced last board meeting by Joe, and we said we would approve it at the next board meeting because we had changes. Did you have a chance to look that over, Paul?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any issues with it?
No.
I don't either. I make a motion that we approve the 2024 budget.
I second.
Second.
Yes, I second.
He said, Paul seconds. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
Yes.
I vote yes as well. Motion carries. The 2024 budget is approved, and we will present that at the annual meeting. Okay, next on the list. Call Encore about tapping into the streetlight for electricity for mailbox cluster on Bradford Park Drive near Andres Way. I put a note in here as well. I called Encore, and they said, no, you cannot tap into the streetlight. Not going to happen.
I would have been surprised if they said yes.
I would have too, but hey, I had to, ask the question because people asked me to ask the question, so okay. So we still don't have a solution for that. I'm open to suggestions.
Nothing here.
I don't have anything either.
Nope.
Might not be an answer for it.
There may not be an answer for it. You may be right. All right. Well, we'll move on. Also, we had we're making a decision whether we were going to use Zoom or Google for 2024. I started trying to use Google, and I'm computer literate, but I'm not a Google guy. And Google does things a little differently. And so I was like at one point frustrated because I couldn't figure it out. And I said, the hell with it. We'll just use Zoom. So that's why we're using Zoom.
Zoom it is.
So Zoom it is for 2024. Masonry wall update. I wanted to show people this. So just so you know, this is over on High Country, that area between Donnell Drive and Bradford Park Drive.
Just walked by there yesterday.
And it's literally falling apart. So I met with Boris on the 8th, because that's the date of the pictures. And he says the whole wall has to be replaced. I mean, you take a look further down. Even the new brick wall that we built is leaning just like the other one. So the whole thing has to be replaced. So I asked, because I'm like, who owns this? Because we don't own that property. So who owns the wall? And we got a result, an answer from our HOA attorney. And he says the homeowners own that. So the homeowners are going to have to pay to fix that wall. I'm sure
that's the individual homeowners that back up to that wall or the entire neighborhood.
No, the homeowners for that own that property that back up to that wall. Give me just a second. I can see if I can find.
That's six houses because I counted as I walked down the street yesterday.
Yeah, I actually, there's one on Donnell Drive, 2901. And then the other five are all on Elizabeth Ann.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to fix it. The problem is, if they fix it, and it, they have to pay to fix it. And it's, by the way, it's not going to be cheap. The teardown is going to cost money.
I got something to say on that after you, Keith.
Okay, the teardown on that is going to be a bunch of money. Then, if depending on what kind of fence you want to put up in its place, Boris recommended a nice wooden fence. And if we do a wooden fence, or they do a wooden fence, then the footer that was there for the masonry wall has to be removed. That's more money. And then you have to actually pay to put the friggin' fence up. So this is not going to be a cheap endeavor by any stretch. And I'm imagining that there's going to be some mighty ticked off neighbors on Elizabeth mm-hmm. Ann and Donnell Drive if they have to pay for all of that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we want to do about that or if we can do anything about that.
I'm thinking that either way, whether you replace the wall or put a fence up, that footer's got to go, because that's the whole problem is the footer's failed and it's yeah. tilted.
Yeah.
We still need it.
So, I mean, I don't, and as near as I can tell, the masonry wall has been there for like this part over here. I don't know if you can see my cursor. This yeah. part here has been there for 26 years. But this part here has been around since about 2005. But both of them are leaning towards high country. So
yeah, I'm guessing they anchored the new wall to the old one. And when one goes, they both go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the deal. So, again, I don't know what this is going to cost. Boris is supposed to get Joe, so we kind of know what's going on. But this is not going to be fun. And even more fun, let's say that, just for grins and giggles, that the HOA decides that we'll pay for the tear down and removal of the footer. Just go with me here. If we do that, okay, where's my thing here? Oh, there it is. Then there's other things like this tree that's in the way. That's going to have to be removed before we can get the wall down because it's in the way. So you got to get little things that are in the way out of the way. So that's even more.
Does it have to be removed or just trimmed?
Trimmed or removed, it's still going to cost us. If we decide to do it, take down the masonry wall and tell those homeowners you have to put up a fence there. So
I'm trying to understand why the fence, the tree would have any effect if you, I mean, I guess you
that
can't.
Tree could knock over that wall.
I'm sorry?
That tree or bush, if it was growing close enough to that wall, could be the instigator for pushing that sucker over. You're not going to stop that thing from growing.
That's actually further back towards Donnell Drive.
That one that's hanging
is actually failing further up.
Yeah.
Right there. It's literally falling down.
You think
that? Well, I've got a couple of major questions here, gentlemen.
Yeah.
First of all, I know that we've talked about the mowing of the property on the outside of that wall. And I don't remember, I'm sorry, if it's our responsibility or the city's.
That's never really been defined.
We're trying to get the city to eventually do it.
We're trying to get it to be the city's problem because it's their property. It's literally their property. So
as is the sidewalk.
Yeah. So as is the sidewalk, which parts of that are also messed up that they just finished. They just put it in like a year or two ago. That's already messed up. So it's like, that's going to be fun. But again, we don't own that property. We never did. We've been maintaining it for 26 years, but we don't own that property.
Well, if we don't own that, is there a possibility that maybe we don't even own that wall either?
I checked with the attorney, and the attorney says that the homeowners, each individual homeowner owns that wall, that the city's part of the property doesn't start until where the back part of that wall ends.
Okay. Is there a possibility we could talk to the city about this situation and get them to come out and survey it and consider the possibility of having the wall torn down and a new wall erected on city property by the city?
That's a thought I can ask.
It's just a shot in the dark.
Okay, I can ask. It may make us real popular with the city.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Especially when we tell them, hey, you know that crap we've been mowing for 26 years? That's your problem now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a thought. There's always been discussions about the grass and whether they should be mowing it or we should be mowing it.
Right. And I also wanted to bring up a couple other things. When I was there, this is not my foot. This was Boris's foot. But even the ground is cracked. Okay.
With the drought we've been in, that probably has a lot to do with the fence failure.
Yeah. And also, every post, not every, but almost every post on the newer part of the wall is also cracked.
Mm-hmm. But if you remember, Keith, I gave you photos of that wall starting to collapse 2 years ago.
You did. And everything else in the world came up first.
Yeah, and I'm just saying is it wasn't the drought this summer that caused it. This has been an ongoing issue for several years.
Yeah.
Well, we've been in a drought for 12 years, guys.
Yeah, and the last two winters we've had those times when we had the horrendous freezes, and that's going to create movement in the earth itself when you're going from drought to freeze to drought to freeze. And then this summer's heat was outrageous.
Trust me, I'm from up north. I know the effects of the ice thaw. Yep. But that just tells us that the footings that were put in weren't dug deep enough. They weren't put below the frost line, which is why it started to collapse.
I don't know enough about masonry, so
there's no doubt that if it was built like some of the houses in this neighborhood, that it wasn't done properly.
That does not surprise me at all.
But what you I'm have to remember also, it was built according to standards at that time, which we hadn't started experiencing these extremes back then, and standards have changed since then. I mean, we've been in our house now 25 years, and on our side of Bradford Park, we were one of the early birds. But on the other side of Bradford Park, going from there towards Donnell, that neighborhood was in here, well lived in, trees already,
established,
what have you. So that's been there for a while.
Yeah, I've been in my house almost 26 years now.
I've been here almost 24. No, take that back. I have been here 24.
Well, if you could just touch base with the city, I'd appreciate a reply from you.
Yeah, I'll definitely ask.
Okay. And Keith, you might point out that could become a unsafe condition for children.
Right.
Walking down the sidewalk, mm-hmm. riding their bicycles, and the city would not want to have a unsafe structure.
I still need from Boris what you know, the estimates. I really need Boris.
Yeah.
And so we know if we decide to go and take the thing down, then what it's going to cost us. If the city decides to take it down, that's another issue entirely. That becomes their issue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my guess is the city's not going to want to do it, but we can ask. I mean, I asked about Encore and tapping into the streetlight, and they said no, but hey, I'll ask.
Yeah, the concern for the homeowner is if that wall were to fall and hurt someone, it would be the homeowner's responsibility.
Yeah. It's a liability issue.
Yes, it is.
And see, we were under the impression when we took over this thing that we owned that area, but we don't own it. So it's not the HOA's. Literally, the only thing the HOA's been doing is taking care of the grass and the edging and the any plants that were there. That's the only thing the HOA's been doing. Tree trimming, things like that. So, okay, I will contact the city and see what they say. I got to figure out who to call, but sure. Anyone else got any other ideas?
No, I was just going to add on that whole wall thing. I have a hard time thinking. I don't think, you know, you can go to these homeowners and tell them, oh, by the way, you're responsible for this stone wall, if they didn't know that when they came in and was under the impression it was the association's wall or whatever. I'm not sure how that was portrayed to them when they came in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I mean, I'm all for, I mean, it would be something where the HOA does what they could first, then let them know in the future, this has to be yours because it's not the association's problem. But I just don't think you can go to someone that's been in this house for so long that was told, maybe when they even came in, they were told that, even if, who knows what they were told, if they said, oh, who's responsible for that? Okay, and they probably said, oh, the homeowner association, you know, or the, I don't know what they were told, but it's probably a, yeah, it's going to have to let them know eventually that it's going to be their problem going forward. But I like your
right
idea about the association doing it if the city doesn't.
Going back to the pictures real quick, the one that's probably got the best, I don't know, the one that's probably got the best possible case here would be 2901, because this was added by the HOA, but like in 2005, and I think they could just tear this down. I don't think they actually need to rebuild it. I think they could just tear this down and be done with it. But yeah, that's...
So the HOA did do this brick wall at some point.
Yeah, well, I was on the board back in like, I want to say 2003 or 2004, 2005, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I think it was Tracy, Linda, and I who we fixed the wall at the time because it was falling apart at the top. And then we put this up, and people complained because they wanted a brick wall in their backyard. We told them, no, that's because of where that property is located is why they get that brick wall. So, and people were not happy with us for that. I'm like, gee, I'm really sorry. But, and looking at it now, since we don't own that property, we did put up that wall. We may end up being, for this brick wall here, we may end up being having to tear that down ourselves. So just letting you guys know what I know.
Maybe we just do a volunteer wall removal party.
that puts us up for liability too if somebody gets hurt doing that.
That's exactly.
Okay, never mind.
He's right. Not only that, I can't get people to show up to a board meeting. You think people are going to, hey, come and work with us?
Yeah. Let's have a teardown party.
Lee, you, me, and Jamie might show up.
Bring your sledgehammer. Let's have some fun.
And I'd be sitting there sweating like a pig going, holy crap, I wish I'd lost weight years ago.
Sledgehammers and beer. What's wrong with that picture?
Jamie's got a truck. We'll just put a chain around it and yank it.
Yeah. So
there you go. There you go.
That's how we got the tree out of the stump out of my front yard.
So... But yeah, like I said, I'll find out more from the city. Also, hopefully we'll find out more from Boris. Those two things kind of have to line up. But once we know, then we could go on from there. Yeah. We have to, let's put it this way. If the homeowner is responsible for tearing it down and putting in a fence, I think that's asking too much of the homeowner. I think that depending on how much it costs, I would be in favor of at least the teardown and the homeowner replace it with whatever fence that they want. But that's just my two cents.
When you check with the city, being the fact that those walls have been there as long as they have, and I know some places, not every place, but some places require, because High Country is a quote-unquote main thoroughfare. Through the area, they're requiring that type of wall, a brick or stone wall, as opposed to wood, for safety factors of cars or other vehicles ending up in your yard.
If you go up farther up High Country, there are plenty of wooden fences. There's a few rail fences. So I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I know. And they were there longer than ours. But I also know that if for some reason, just like if you remodel your home or a business, if you remodel a business, the building, you have to bring it up to current quote unquote ADA standards and that kind of stuff. If you have to mess with that. Well, if we have to repair the fences, do we then in turn at the same time have to bring it up to current building standards? That's what I'm thinking. Are they going to require certain things if we have to do something with that? Or can we go with a wooden fence? I don't know what the city regulations are.
That would be another question for the city.
Yeah, because those houses on the other side of High Country were built long after ours went in.
Yes, they were. Yeah, that neighborhood didn't exist when we first moved in here.
But they have wooden fences, so I'm still...
Yeah, but they're back we can further check, from the road, too.
Not really.
I just know that it's unfortunate that the fence is deteriorating like this. And regardless of who ends up replacing it, whoever ends up replacing it is going to end up paying a bunch of money.
Yeah.
I'd say go ahead and get possible costs.
That's already in the works.
On an overall, and if it were to get split up, what that would amount to any one given family, or maybe the whole neighborhood chips in.
Yeah, and that's another thing I was thinking of is maybe we ask for donations instead of taking it out of the HOA budget, and instead we ask for donations. I don't know. A lot of people, some people would, I'm certain, would donate to it. I don't know if we'd get enough to pay for the project.
You know, a couple of pressure treated 2x4s, we can just prop that sucker up.
I'm sorry?
So a couple of pressure treated 2x4s, we can just prop that sucker up.
There you go.
What about the part that's already falling apart? There's holes.
Find that guy that does the painting on the sidewalks and you'll never even notice it. Can paint the fence.
Paint the fence. All right. Well, okay. I'll contact the city and see what they say. I mean, worst they're going to say is no.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we move on from there.
Yeah. So moving on to the next thing on the agenda, under old business, driveway apron, house painting update. Jamie and I went around... Let's see, it would be 2 weeks ago this coming Saturday. And we painted the black box on each side of the driveway's apron. And the reason we didn't do the actual numbering is because the stencils that we got from Amazon were crap. They were not straight. They were like wavy and they kind of interlocked. But they were also didn't go all the way to the top of the inside border where you spray painted, so you literally couldn't do that at the same time, and you'd have to figure out where was center with, like, it was just really hard, put it that way. So
I did pause, Paul. It took over 20 minutes to do your driveway.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. I'm not doing 16 houses and spending 8 hours out here doing these. I got to get, you know, with these crappy numbers. They're so thin that they looked like they interlocked on the pictures, but they didn't. They're so thin. They just moved right on. And you would have had to tape each number together. And I was like, screw this, man.
I hadn't been outside in about 2 weeks. And I walked out and I went, hey, there's numbers at the end of the driveway.
Surprise, surprise.
It's from your neighbor across the street.
Yeah, I knew who to blame.
So we looked into, we being Jamie. Jamie looked into how much it would cost to get new stencils made from Fast Signs. And I think it was like $250, something like that, $280, some of that. Somewhere in that neck of the woods.
$217.
Yeah, that's it, 217. Okay. And Paul and I approved that, and Jamie ordered them, and that's where we have been sitting for a week at least. So
waiting for receipt?
Huh?
Waiting for receipt?
No, waiting for them to actually make the stencils. But yeah. Jamie also said he wanted to like have them make like a couple of samples so that we could make sure that they were going to work.
Yeah.
I sent an email to him today, I think, or yesterday, and he came back and said they're in queue, that they had recently moved like shops, and so they were behind. So they haven't even started them yet, but he said it's in process.
Well, they did have a notice on their where they were at saying that we're moving, but they didn't say when they were moving. So right. Now we know that they've moved.
Yeah. So
I think they're on Texas Avenue now.
Well, we all know patience is a virtue.
Yeah, so everyone who, including the Lees, you know, the people who wanted the Stallneckers, they wanted their driveway painted, and we got the black box, but that's all we've gotten so far.
That's all right.
We'll get there. It's just taking a while. And I was driving the last time we did this, and Jamie was doing all the painting. And now I'm grounded. I can't drive right now. That makes life even more fun. So,
Jamie, if you need a chauffeur, let me know.
Who knows when these numbers are going to be done, but as soon as they get done, no, it's not that big of a deal. I just need to be able to put the numbers down quickly and paint it, you know.
Yeah.
Not have to use a half a roll of tape to tape them all together. So.
Right. I agree. And they should last a while. From what I understood, they're pretty good quality.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as soon as we get those numbers done, and then we'll get the rest of it done. Moving on to new business. The only thing we had on new business was to set the annual 2024 annual meeting date and place. We usually use Faith Baptist Church over here. I haven't called them, but I'm looking at a date of like, I think it was the 24th or 23rd, something like that. 23rd or 24th, I think is what I said, because I think Joe said not the 25th.
We're talking January?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the 25th?
Okay. I don't know. The 23rd is a Tuesday and the 24th is a Wednesday.
The guy up here doesn't have January. No.
Ooh, I should be walking by then. Yay.
Middle of the week. Sounds good.
Okay.
I'm fine. Fine with it.
Okay. Joe, are you still here?
I am.
Okay. Can I task you to call Faith Baptist Church to get that scheduled?
Yes.
Okay. And like I said, ask him for the 23rd or 24th.
Okay.
7
p.m. Do we have a preference?
Do y'all have a preference?
No.
Just for because we meet on Wednesday nights as it is now, we make it get preference for the 24th.
Okay, January 24th. I'll call them.
Yeah, we'll need it for 2 hours. Well, actually, 2.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
Okay, and do a $250 donation.
Well, and that's another thing I didn't put on here, but I'm going to ask Paul. Paul, normally we give them a donation of $250 for the use of as a donation, because the use of the building is free, but they have to clean it and everything after we're done. And it's just kind of nice to donate something. We've done it for the last 2 years. So I'll make a motion that we donate $250 to Faith Baptist Church so that we can have the annual meeting over there.
I second.
Second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
Yes.
I vote yes as well. Motion carries. Yes, we will pay them $250 as a donation.
Okay.
And that basically is it, folks. Do y'all have any concerns?
Not really.
No. Okay. I'll catch you guys later.
Yeah. Bye. I have one concern. Hold on. Don't go, Jamie. I have one concern. I wanted to show people this. Oh, crap. Where is it? Jamie, you remember this guy? Remember his car on High Cotton Way?
I'm not seeing. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. The front and back doesn't have a front or back. So
no bumpers, huh?
No bumpers. No. No.
No grill.
Registration. No license plate. No nothing. So I called, I sent something into the city. They said, call the police department because we don't handle that. Okay. They don't mm-hmm. handle junk cars. So I called the police department and the policeman came out and looked at it and said, unless that is moving, we're not doing anything about it.
Wait, unless it's what?
Moving.
Moving. Driving down the road.
Yeah. Unless it is moving, we won't do anything about it.
So what is I've seen him go by and tag cars before that don't have valid registration that have been parked too long.
Yep, I have two, but I think they may have changed the ordinances or something, but he told me they won't deal with this. They said it is not in compliance, but until it moves, they won't do a thing.
Oh, well, that's different than everything that I've known in the past. I always thought that it had to be a
how long has valid, it been there?
Like if it had valid registration, yeah, you can do anything about it. But if it's on a public road.
Well, I do know that his next door neighbor at 3323 has been complaining about this for a while. And I didn't understand what he was talking about till we drove down there. And to be fair, High Cotton Way is literally out of the way. I mean, it's tucked back there. Unless you deliberately go down there, you'll never see stuff like this. And so when I was with Jamie on the 4th, I took a picture. I took a picture of it right here. And the guy that lives there, he's a renter. He came in his black truck because we went up High Cotton Way and turned on to Andres Way to paint more curbs. And he literally pulled up and I was thinking, well, that's it. Tell my sweet wife I loved her. So I thought that was my end right there. And the guy says, why are you taking a picture of my car? I said, dude, I'm the HOA president. I look for stuff like this. I said, that thing is not in compliance. You got to get it off the road. And he mumbled something and then he went away and he came back. And Jamie says, isn't that the same guy that pulled up next to you? And I went, yeah. So I don't know. I guess we're going to have to send him a letter maybe.
I'll send him a violation.
Okay.
Does the thing ever move?
I don't know. Again, I don't go down there all the time. I've been down there twice in the last 2 weeks because I figured I'd give him a week. And it was actually a little bit more than a week. And I said, I'll go down there and look. And sure enough, it had not moved.
So it's like the old police
used to do, put a chalk mark on a tire. And you know exactly where that chalk mark was placed. And if you do it right, it's a vertical chalk mark or horizontal chalk mark, either way. And, you know, if that chalk mark has not moved in a set amount of time, then just say, hey, we know this hasn't moved in 30 days. It's out of compliance. We're going to get it towed.
Well, we can send them a 10-day demand letter, but we got to find out what it's violating in our rules. Because, again, it's parked on the street, not in the driveway. and we don't have a whole lot of say on what's on the street.
Yeah, I thought for sure.
How long does it have to be there before they consider it an abandoned vehicle?
Exactly. The city used to tow that. The city would come by and put a sticker on it, and then a tow truck would come and tow that sucker after so long. But I'm going to look into that and see, because I can't see the city stop doing that.
I think it's, you know, something like that, I think, needs to get off the road. It looks bad. It's not in compliance with, doesn't have a license plate, doesn't have a window sticker. It's not in compliance
with the state in general.
Yeah. And the guy who lives there, he's a renter, because I looked that up, and he's very protective of that vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, I understand if he's like working on it or trying to restore it or something, but you'd think it'd be in the driveway or had work on it in your garage or something, or put a cover over it if he's trying to, you know, maybe he's a collector. Who knows? I'm not faulting him for having it. Just, it's surprising that the police, and you called them and they came out and said that?
I called the 218-5500 number, talked to dispatch, told them what's going on, gave them the address, gave them my address, my name, and asked that the policeman call me back. The policeman came, looked at the vehicle, called me back, and said, unless that thing moves, we don't do a thing about it.
That's strange. Huh. Maybe they stopped doing that. But, you know, unless something like that was in front of the one of the councilman's house or something, or their councilman's neighbor, then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we got to tag those things again.
We put it in front of the friggin' courthouse.
Yeah. How long do you think they'd let it stay there? I mean,
that's not very long.
But, you know, if it's not against the law, I guess it's not against the law. So.
But I wanted to let you all know about that. I don't know what you're going to cite, Joe, because, I don't know, in-op vehicle maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, let's try it. Sometimes that works.
There is something in the documents that I kind of was against at first about. I mean, it says that you're not supposed to have vehicles parked out. I mean, but everybody does. I mean, everybody's parks out in the street, you know. You go to Donnell.
It's a public street. They can't ban them.
Yeah, but there's something in there that does say you're not supposed to have vehicles of yours for too long over a certain period in the street. There's something in the documents that says something about that, because I remember reading it before.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, we used to have a guy kitty corner across the street from us here that he had an older car that he used for car shows and what have you. And when he wasn't driving it, it was parked in the driveway, but he had one of those covers on it. So he kept it in really good shape. And he got several notices from the HOA back in the day because this car was parked in their driveway. They said it was an abandoned vehicle.
I'd have a problem with that because I have two cars under covers in my driveway.
Yeah. But those look, I mean, that looks, but at least, I mean, even that one would be okay if he had a cover on it. I mean,
yeah.
Because then you wouldn't know that it's, it doesn't look abandoned, you know? It looks like someone's trying to take care
of it. Somebody's trying to take care of it. That's right.
But
like I said, his next door neighbor has been up in arms about this, and I can understand why. It's an eyesore. Yeah.
I think that's the main thing for me is when your neighbors complain. It's like, you know, if none of your neighbors, whatever, mind, that's one thing. But if you're actually bothering someone else that lives right by you, then that's a problem.
I agree. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up to let you guys see and tell you what I've done so far. Do you, and like I said, Joe, you know, he said he'll give him a violation. I'll send you the address of the owner. And, of course, the renter is there at 3221 High Cotton Way.
Okay.
So.
Oh, yeah, you probably need to send it to the owner, and then the owner can tell the guy, hey, right? You send the violation to the
owner. We can. I mean, we can.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, send it to the owner and say, hey, there's an abandoned vehicle out front. It's been there for too long. There's something in the HOA documents. I'll look at it too. And if I find it, I'll send you the section or whatever, Jeff.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you. And that's all I got, folks. Does anyone else have anything else?
You got any concerns? Nope, we're good.
Okay. Jamie, you got anything?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. Paul, you got anything?
Nope.
Joe, you got anything?
I have a receipt for paint I bought, but I haven't even given that to you, so I'll save it for the next board meeting.
Well, you could just send that to Joe, to Joe, and he'll cut you a check.
Yeah, $20 to spray paint to do these numbers and stuff. Something like that.
Yep, just email me the receipt.
All right. Good seeing you guys. All right,
well, we're going to go into executive session, so we'll see you all later.
Bye.